McShane Bible Study, day 332. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Weston just got done telling me that First Chronicles is interesting, and now we read chapters 24 and 25, and he's changed his mind. David's organizing the priests in 24. And so these are the sons of Aaron. There were four sons of Aaron. Two of them died. You remember why they died? They didn't follow the ordinance of God. They went and just decided to light a fire, strange incense to God that he had not told them. They decided to worship God in their own way, and God killed them. And so that left two sons of Aaron. And so then we get to see how their lines kind of go, and they pick a chief priest from each of those lines to serve before David. And those are Zadok and Ahimelech, who come from the two different lines of Aaron, which were, Eleazar and Ithamar. Chapter 25, he's organizing the musicians, the sons of Asaph and Heman and of Judathan. Were these were regular Levites, not priests, correct?
I think so.
I found this interesting. So when I was a kid, there was a cartoon called He-Man. You ever heard of that? I think he's long gone. There's these big, strong guys with huge muscles. And kind of a weird, was it like Power of Grayskull or something? I don't remember. When I was young, I watched it. And anyway, so I found it interesting when I read the Bible that there was a man called He-Man. And I found it interesting. Apparently, he was super blessed by God, which, as far as I remember, this is the only reference to this. Verse 5 says, all these were the sons of He-Man, the king's seer. So he was not only a musician, he was a seer. It's like a prophet, particularly in seeing things. So he'd see visions of the Lord. All these were the sons of He-Man, the king's seer, according to the promise of God to exalt him. For God had given He-Man 14 sons and 3 daughters. So God had promised to exalt him, and he blessed him with many children. And so, you know, it's just setting up all the family lines of the musicians before the Lord. And we move to 1 Peter, chapter 5, finishing the book. And I see last time I commented on most of the books, so I'm going to try to comment on different stuff. The first verse says, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. So he's exhorting in this chapter the elders. Right? By elders, he means the ones who are leading, right? Mm-hmm. The ones who are helping others grow up in the body of Christ. And he says that he witnessed the sufferings of Christ, but he says he's a partaker in the glory that's not yet revealed to the world. Mm-hmm. He is one already partaking in these things. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's powerful, right? That shows there is a secret entrance into the partaking of glory that is not easily seen by the world, right? Mm-hmm. And he's encouraging them in the ways that they might also enter into these things, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, he makes the same point kind of twice here. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Right? He's saying, okay, you're going to go through difficulties. Lay all your worries to the Father's feet. But trust in him. Look to him. Don't worry. Don't be concerned about the wiles of the enemy coming against you. Simply trust in the Lord in all things. Humble yourself before the Lord. He says it again in 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So there's a time and season for all things. Trust in the Lord. He will take you through things. He does this in order to grow us up, right? Mm-hmm. But when the proper time comes, he will place you and bless you. Mm-hmm. Right? So kind of interesting that he, I don't know, kind of makes the same point two different ways, right? Okay, well, that's all I have for that. Micah 3, we see the early part of the chapter, he's saying a harsh word against the rulers of his people and then against the prophets. But then he turns in verse 8 and he says, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." He says, the Lord is on me, and I must tell you the truth, even though all of society seems to be going the wrong direction, right? Verse 9, "Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob, and rulers of the house of Israel, who detest justice and make crooked all that is straight, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity." So he says, you who are leading the people of God.
What's iniquity?
Like sin. Falling short. Evil.
Okay.
So he says, you leaders, you're building up Zion, right? You're supposed to be representing God. You're building up the people of God, but you're doing it in evil ways. 11, its heads give judgment for a bribe. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets practice divination for money. So he says you're representing the way of God in an evil way, mm-hmm, for your own benefit,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't God at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you're using God for your purposes. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, "Is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us." So this is the heart of man, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna grab hold of God and I'm gonna claim his benefits, but I'm gonna go my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And this man of God says, "No, God will not be represented that way. He will not bless that way." 12. "Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height." God says, "I will not have a people that do not represent me. I will remove it so that I can start fresh and bless my remnant people who long to actually live my way,
mm-hmm,
teach my way, walk in my way," right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he's going to go starting tomorrow. We're finishing in Psalm 104, which is a great, you know, we focused, I see, on the first four verses last time, which just depict God as, you know, clothed with splendor and majesty, with light, his garment being light, right? Clouds are his chariot. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers as flaming fire. That was the beginning of Hebrews, right? We quoted that one. He spends most of the psalm just talking about how life goes on and in all the different ways. All the animals, people go about their work, but God is above it all, giving life to it, bringing death to it, changing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
His work is far beyond our understanding. Mm-hmm. And he's glorious and good. And, you know, he ends the psalm saying, I'm going to just praise you and worship you with my life. And I pray that you take care of the wicked in the ways they should be taken care of. And you bless those who walk in your ways. And Lord, we just honor you with our life because we know that is what you're about, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have. You have anything else?
No.
All right. Well, God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Ruff, ruff, ruff.